Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now it's Pod Squad time, and this week we're talking about the podcast There's a Lot I Haven't Asked. Have a listen to this.
When I look back, there was nobody in my year that was left around. They were all emigrated.
Starting off with listening to those who emigrated from Ireland.
Watching the lights of Dublin and Dunleary fade, and a terrible loneliness came over me.
I loved it. Because we could go dancing every night in the week.
Right.
No restrictions. No daddy watching over me. And we had a great time.
Before moving on to stories from children and grandchildren brought up in Manchester.
I just remember just getting up early in the morning and just being buzzing, and the ferry was like the most exciting thing in the world ever.
I would love to also see my mum again. That makes me feel really emotional. Just a real intimacy and comfort.
With original music composed and arranged by Michael McGoldrick, this series brings to life the specific period of mass emigration from Ireland to Manchester between 1945 and 1975.
Now, Hannah Donnellan's podcast, There's a Lot I Haven't Asked, was inspired by stories that began to emerge from her own family. But will our squatters think it's worth your precious time? Well, I'm joined by Laura Mullett, journalist and stylist, and Elaine Burke, presenter of Oh For Tech's Sake. You're both very welcome.
Great to be here.
Hello. Thanks for joining us. I feel like there's a lot of warmth for this podcast already because both of you were smiling through those clips. Will I go to you first, Elaine? You might give us an explainer on this podcast.
Yeah, so you've got a bit of the context there from Hannah Donnellan's own life. She is the child of Irish immigrants who met on a dance floor in Manchester. And dance floors and those kind of romantic meetups actually have a huge part to play in this story that she tells. And if it's as a podcast, it's like nothing I've ever listened to before. It's this kind of oral history approach to podcasting. And it feels a little bit like if you've gone to museums that are modernizing recently and trying to make more interactive, immersive experience. It feels a bit like that. It feels like it's an immersive museum experience of a podcast. So you have about 35 people were interviewed over the course of a month for it, and you're hearing their stories for the majority of the podcast, with Hannah dipping in every now and again just to give a bit of context of what it is that they're talking about. And they're telling those stories from growing up in rural Ireland. A lot of them are from the west of Ireland and northwest of Ireland, growing up in the 40s and 50s, then emigrating into post-war Britain, a lot of them working in construction and the NHS and kind of seen to be contributing to the rebuilding of post-war Britain, but also facing a lot of racism. Like there's talk of, you know, the actual lived experience of seeing no Irish, no blacks, no dogs on signs of our jobs and accommodation and things like that. And lots of talk about dance halls and finding community there and meeting other people and just a lot of singing as well. A lot of them break into song every now and again. The storytelling is just gorgeous, as you know, we're a natural storytellers gifted to the gab in Ireland. It's just beautiful. It's such a cozy listen. And the music as well. Michael McGoldrick himself, a Manchester-based Irish folk musician, is gorgeous. And the context is, by 1981, Irish emigrants were the largest migrant population in the UK. And it's focused on Manchester because that's where Hannah's story kind of is focused on. But this actually feels like a very current story as well, because the story of migration is, you know, it's constantly getting headlines at the moment, and we should be centering our experiences in that as well, because, you know, these Irish people went to the UK and faced racism. They faced like judgment over, you know, what was happening in Northern Ireland, you know, because there's points in it where they're talking about the Manchester bombing from 1996 and how they were looked at and interpreted after that. And these are experiences that can be very relatable to what's happening now in the news, and we should be centering ourselves more on that.
It's a good point, Elaine. It really is. Laura, I listened to the first episode yesterday, and I thought it's lovely that she says this is stories rather than I can't even say the word, statistics.
Yes.
And that appealed to me straight away.
Yeah. I just feel like everybody is somebody's baby. Like, and you hear someone who's over 100 years old talking about their mammy and daddy, and it just goes to show, like, those stories should be carried and we should be hearing. And it's the kind of thing I want to be listening to. I want to listen to uplifting stories of positivity for people to say, We went to school in our bare feet. You know, we had nothing, but we had everything. Mm. And I think that really gives you perspective, all of us, on our daily struggles. And I mean, I remember my little sister moving to Australia. At the time, I didn't know it was only for 4 years, but I had PTSD. Like, these people were throwing effectively wakes because they weren't going to see these amazing, cherished family members for 20 years. You know, mothers and fathers are trying to be unselfish and send their kids out to work young, obviously to keep the house because, you know, there's eight in a bed, but also to kind of get them used to the fact of, we want to hold on to you, but we can't keep you. And it's just, it's so bittersweet listening to these stories.
Yeah, we want the best for you. And the best move you can make is to move away. The other thing that really resonated with me, Laura, was one of the women said something about, sure, they weren't even trying to educate us because we were going to work on the farm anyway.
Yeah.
So this was obviously someone, you know, from a rural place in Ireland. And that was her future. Like, there was no other options, you know.
You kind of might be a farmer's wife. You might end up, as a woman, you might end up that way for, you know, it wasn't seeing people going to colleges and stuff. People just couldn't afford it. I think people were trying to barter for food and help each other and mind each other. And there was a sense of community and kind of, even the way they spoke about, you know, the door on the latch and everyone in each other's homes, I think they minded each other. And I think they were the best of times and the worst of times for a lot of people.
Yeah, it does sharpen your focus and gives you perspective. I completely agree with you. We're concentrating on the 60s up to about mid 70s, Elaine?
To start with, but it gradually progresses. So the first half of the story is focusing on those older voices, those people who are first generation migrants into the UK, into Manchester specifically. But then the story moves on in the second half to second generation, so the people that were born in Manchester, and they start sharing their story. So you're moving through time, essentially, through each episode. You start way back in the 40s, 50s, and you gradually progress. And I have to say that 105-year-old woman, Kathleen, is my favourite. The stories of them courting are some of my favourite stories. And the story of her getting her first boyfriend is one of the most charming things. I'm not going to give it away, but it is delightful.
Do you know what's gorgeous about the contributors is that it's like they're not guarded in any shape or form. They're not worrying about how they come across or watching their words. They're just telling the stories, warts and all, aren't they, Laura?
They are. And it kind of makes you nostalgic for a different time. You kind of wish you experienced aspects of it.
Mm.
And it's sort of like, I remember when I was little, like listening to my Nana speak, and I felt like I was with her again, hearing these beautiful stories. And I think a lot of people would feel that way. If you listen to someone who talks about just the struggles of life, but the everyday joys and sense of humour, and people of great faith, they might be super religious, but they're full of devilment as well. And kind of talking
absolutely.
About going to discos and meeting boys and, you know, wanting to ask a girl to dance and being terrified of rejection. And like, this is a man in his 80s saying, oh God. And then the next week you'd go again and you just hope that she'd say yes when you walk across the hall. And it's so beautiful.
Do you know
so
who
lovely.
I'd love? And I flicked through to see if she appeared, and it would be a great coup for the podcast to get her. But I was interested in Peggy Gallagher being Mayo to Manchester woman. Wouldn't her story be incredible?
Yeah.
And I know she doesn't do any interviews, but
for the second generation, then you could have the lads on
as well.
That would be a great boon for the podcast. And yeah, there is a lot of music in it as well, as I mentioned. But I'd imagine like the story of Peggy Gallagher is kind of captured here in its own way, because like I said, a lot of these people seem to have come from the west of Ireland. There's a lot from Galway. I think there are a couple from Mayo as well. And I think that story is kind of reflected there. Even though they're very personal and very specific, it feels very general as
yeah,
well.
It does. Now, I was listening to it thinking, who would love this? My parents would certainly love it. But, you know, will they listen to a podcast? Yeah. If I send them a link, maybe. But I don't think they'd have, well, they wouldn't have just discovered it, you know.
Yes.
Do you think younger people, I mean, you loved it as well, Laura?
I loved it. I mean, I put it in the family WhatsApp as soon as I listened to one episode. I'm like, hi, guys. It's listening time. It's brilliant. And I think it sort of connects different generations. And like you were saying about it being an immersive audio experience, like you can hear the fire crackling.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear the birds singing. I'm four episodes in. We're obviously moving on maybe to the next generation in the next four episodes. I just think it's beautifully crafted. I think Hannah is a great host.
She's got a lovely tone as well, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I think she's an actor as well, isn't she?
She's one of these multi-hyphenate creators.
Yes.
She herself is a musician. And she is a Shano singer too. And she was booked for a lot of funerals. And she found that kind of inspiring this story, that she found that those stories were being lost as people were being lost. And that's what kind of spurred her to capture them.
Yeah, of course. So it's a podcast, unusually, because usually podcasts are a particular market, particular niche. This crosses the generations. Would that be fair?
Yeah. And like I said, it's like no podcast I've ever listened to before. This isn't like whatever formats you might have experienced before. And if you thought they're not for me, this is different. This is a different artistic and creative endeavour, I think.
And it does. It celebrates Irishness and uniqueness as well, I think, doesn't it?
It has a nice flow to it, I think. Yeah. When you're listening to a podcast and it's episodic, sometimes it's punchy, 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 punchy. I feel like there was a softness to this. And as much as there was stories about racism and very serious challenges, there were stories of friendship and beauty and people from different walks of life connecting and, you know, finding the love of their life who was English and then not coming home because they have five children with somebody.
It's a good point, because usually things of this nature are depressing.
Yeah.
You know, times were tough, times were hard, you know, but there's an uplifting feel to it as well, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's a real lightness to it. And it's actually, the way I describe it is it's real cozy and it's the right time of year for a drop of cozy listening, you know?
So what would you be doing listening to this podcast?
You could be doing anything, but I actually did find myself one evening, I just stuck it on the headphones and I like lay down as the sun was setting and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
that's a gorgeous image.
As the room was darkening, just enjoying like the sound design of it all. Like it is just really cozy and comforting.
Out of five?
Five.
5 out of 5?
Yeah, I really want everyone to listen to it. It's just gorgeous.
Wow. Laura?
Guys, I was folding the towels while I was finishing listening to it last night and I was dabbing my eyes. So I think 5 out of 5. But it was as happy as it was sad. It's heartwarming. I'd highly recommend it.
That is a hugely successful podcast review. It's called There's a Lot I Haven't Asked. So you can go off and have a listen to yourselves and enjoy it. Thank you to you both for joining us, Laura Mullett and Elaine Burke. Lovely to see you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.